I'm excited about preaching tonight. Well, anytime I preach, I'm excited about it. I just want to help you. If you got your Bibles, we're going to do another question from the Bible. We've been preaching on great questions from the Word of God. And tonight, I want to say this to you. I have an unusual text I'm going to be preaching tonight. I think it'll be a help to you. I did this just to see. I surfed YouTube to see if I could find this subject on there. I found that somebody preached on it, but in a different context that I'll preach in it, on it tonight. So I've never heard this sermon preached. I've never preached this sermon. I've been preaching for 50 years, never preached what I'm preaching tonight. But I want you to know something. God's been working in my soul for 2 weeks. I'll tell you how this sermon has worked in my soul. I've been just thinking about it in my mind. Then what I do, if you go in my office, you can see it. What I do every time I start thinking about it, I write on my calendar a thought. And then you ought to go look at my calendar. It's a mess. I don't even know what day of the month it is. But I write the thought down. I've been doing that. And this thing's kind of birthed in me, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's found in the book of Job tonight. Well, look back tonight. Wayne Van Bibber, you're here. Good to see you, Wayne. Your dear wife, good to see you. And we're glad you're here tonight. Wayne's my friend. I love him. He's been a blessing to me. Job chapter number 8. When you get there, say amen. And I'm going to read. I'll read 3 verses, but actually, there's 1 verse that I'll spend my time on tonight, and I'll give you the proper context that the speaker here was giving, and then I am going to speak about the truth in the verse. And let's look at it. Job chapter number 8. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Can I make a statement? Job's the oldest book in the Bible. Written before Genesis, written before Exodus, written before the Pentateuch. It's the oldest book in the Bible. And I'm going to show you the truth tonight. Are you here? Somebody say amen. I'm looking forward to preaching. Now, if you're online, share this because your friends want to hear this tonight. I can guarantee you, time I get done, they'll want to hear it. They'll apply it to their life and maybe get some help. Job chapter number 8, verse number 10. Bible says, shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? That's not the question I'm preaching on. Then here's the question. Amazing question. And by the way, the speaker here, and I'll illuminate this in a moment. The speaker here is Bildad, one of Job's 4 friends. You've heard about 3 friends. He actually had 4 friends. And here's his statement. I want you to get this because I'm going to try to build on this all evening. Can the rush grow up without the mire? And can the flag or reed grow without water? While it is yet in its greenness and not cut down, it withers before any other herb. Our Father, I come to you as you've been working in my soul tonight and this week and last week on this thought. I pray I can communicate it the way you have birthed it in my heart. There are folks here that are facing things in life and have faced things in life that seemed at the time to be nasty, to be terrible, to be horrible. Yet out of those things that happened in their life, you have produced growth. You have produced maturity. You have produced new beginnings. Lord, you're a great God. And I pray tonight you'll help me as I preach in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I told you tonight the person speaking here is not Job. The person speaking here is speaking to Job. That's important that you get this tonight. Now, let me tell you who the person was, and then I'll talk a little bit about these friends of Job and then give you a thought in a moment. This person speaking in this passage is one of the three friends, or four friends, and his name is Bildad. Now, his name alone will make me kind of nervous. You know what his name meant? It means the son of contention. I want you to know, all of his discourse toward Job, you read it, he was contentious with him. He said, Job, you're a hypocrite. Hey, just because somebody calls you a hypocrite does not make it true. Somebody help me preach. Hey, Job, you're weak and you're frail and you'd be better off dead. That's Bildad. Now, I'll say a few things more about him, but Job had four friends. And before I really dive into this, you know, I love friends, but I hate to have friends like this. Can I just share a little bit about them and to give you foundation? He had four of them. I'll come back to Bildad last to give you the context where we're going tonight. First friend Job had, his name was Eliphaz. This is the man of testimonial experience. What he said to Job, you're going through all this. I done went through all of it. I shined through it. And I came out fine. And why are you not doing so fine? And what Bildad done, if you read his section through the book of Job, in chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, he flatters Job. Hey, beware if anybody comes to you and starts flattering you. They'll start pumping you up to cut you down. Somebody help me preach. Then chapter 4, verses 5 through 6, he flogs Job. He says he accuses him of hypocrisy. He accuses him of weakness. He even said, Job, I tell you what, you're in a mess you're in because you're wicked. You know, sometimes people get the idea because you are having trouble, you must have done something wrong. Where they don't understand that God has a lot bigger purpose for trouble than you think. Am I preaching? And then we had a third friend. I'll come back to Bildad. His name was Zophar. Now, he looked at things like this. He's the man of total estimation. He looked at the situation, and here's what he said to Job. I'll tell you what's wrong with you, Job. Boy, I've had people do this to me. And it just aggravates me. So, well, you just need to repent and get right. I mean, I just lost my family and I lost my fortune and lost everything. And all you got to say is repent and get right. Because what he was saying is, Job, you're in this mess because you're in sin. I want you to know I've made some messes because of my sin. But I want you to know I've been in a lot of mess that didn't have anything to do with sin. Help me. And then there's a fourth guy came, a young fella. He was the man of truthful expression. His name was Eliu. And he's just mad at everybody. He's mad at Job's three friends. He said they were all wrong. He said, Job, you're wrong. And he takes this blabbermouth five chapters to say that God's good, God's great, and God's fair. I want all y'all to know God is good and God is great and God is fair. And don't you ever tell me that God's not fair. See, what you're doing is measuring your present experience and equating it to God. My God's more than fair to you. My God's been a blessing to you. My God saved you. That ought to be enough right there. But now let's move back. And talked about Bildad and this statement that he made. Now Bildad, in verse 2 of chapter 8, he attacked Job. You want to call Job? Read it when you get home. He said, you're an old windbag. See, I want you to know something. Job was not one of these little weaklings, Lois. Because every time them boys got on him, Job give it back to him. And Job give it back to him and what he concluded, Job, you're a windbag. Now, I've met windbags. Job wasn't a windbag. He's just telling it like it is. And then he said, His appeal, Bildad said, Job, you've got all this problem. You went through all this mess. And my summation is you're a bad fella. You're a hypocrite. Now, with that in mind, that's why he makes the statement in chapter 8 and verse number 11. Because here's what he says. Can the rush grow up without the mire? Now I'll explain what the rush is in a moment. It was this plant that grew on the Nile River. Could grow as high as 15 feet high and be as big around as your wrist. That's what a rush was. And it was embedded with mire or muddy water. By the way, the mud was a white mud, believe it or not. Just a muddy, terrible substance. The mire. Now, here's what Bildad was saying. Job, if I cut you down and you get out of the mire and there's no water there and no mire there, I'll tell you what you're like, Job. You're like that rush that's laying over there by the side and it's withering up and it's useless. In other words, Job, you're a hypocrite. That's what he's saying. And he was given the illustration of the rush and the mire. He said, if that rush is cut down, it's going to wither. Job, my summation is, you're withered. Look at your health. Look at your troubles. Look at your problems. You must be in sin. You must be a hypocrite. And you're not right with God. My Lord, how would you like to run around with that crowd? You see them all over the internet. They're flushing stuff out their mouth, calling everybody's names all the time. Dear God, they get real bold in that thing. Let me give you, but see, here's my message. Now, please get this. I'm not going to preach on hypocrisy tonight, though I could out of this text. But here's what I want to make a statement to you. Y'all with me? Stay with me. You're going to like this in a moment. Stay with me. The statement Bildad said to Job, even though he had a lot of stuff he said wrong, actually, his statement was right. Not about Job, but about the rush and about the mire. Because see, the rush could not, and it was impossible, to grow without the mire. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll never be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that you need to be without you going through some mire in your life. And that mire will produce in you a marvelous, marvelous stock of rush. Y'all getting with me? So let's only look at three things. Man, I tell you, I feel like preaching tonight. You'll get something if you'll stay with me here. Number one, I want you to notice the problem. The mire. The mire, I told you, was a mucky. I've never seen white mud before. But in the Nile River, where these rush and where he was talking about, those rush grow into a, out of a white, ugly, muddy, filthy looking group of mire. You with me? Let me write down number one. The mire is your troubles. Your mire is your troubles. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Preacher Smith, I've had a lot of them in my life. I have too. And I want you to know something. You don't want to go through life and have troubles and then not produce something great in you. Because, see, God doesn't bring allow troubles to come in your heart and in your life for nothing. He allows them for a great reason. Let's talk about Job's problems. His mire. First of all, he lost everything he had. He lost his fortune. Well, I tell you what, some of us, if we go through anything financially, we get all upset and think it's the end of the world. I want you to know your pastor, when he came to church here, and you go ask him, did you ask Roger? He knows. I told you what we made, brought in as a church, Lois, this morning, $25,000 in 1 year. That's it, to minister a whole church. They did the best they can with me. They give me something like $650, $700. Best they could. I don't blame them. Thank God for them. But it was tough. It wasn't for some people in our church that came and gave me groceries about every week. I had one dear old man who was poor and would slip in $10 in my pocket every Sunday morning and then pay his tithe. Yeah. I was so embarrassed. I felt like he's poor and I was. He said, you're my man of God. I'm going to bless you. I want you to know something. Yeah, we went through some tough times. Thank God the church takes care of me well, takes care of all the staff well. But it hadn't always been like that. And by the way, I know what it means to be broke. I know what it means not to have any money. I know what it means to live like that. Hey, by the way, but I don't know what it means to have all the money in the world and lose it. Hey, it'd be one thing to be poor from your beginning and then gain. But how about having everything and it all go down the tubes? That's Job. That's his mind. And then not only did he lose his fortune, he lost his family. Now, I want you to know something. If you've got a boy or girl, got kids, you ought to put your arm around them and love on them. You say, well, they're going through a lot. I want you to know something. Teenagers today, young people today, go through a lot. And they need a mom and they need a dad to love them and understand them and bless them and take care of them. I have been pastor here 46 years, so you have to know that I've seen people lose their family. I remember this trailer park right over here. There's a dear fella who still loves me to death. He don't live near here now, but his boy. I was somewhere around 10 to 13, Steve. I can't remember the age. And Lois, he drove down Taze Valley Road. Somebody ran over him. Killed him. Well, this dear man come to me and said, Pastor, I'm not a Christian. I don't know what to do. Could you help me? Well, sure. I loved on him. A month or two later, led him to Christ, led his wife to Christ. But he lost one child. I had another situation years ago where, unfortunately, there was a couple that lost two children at once. And I want you to know something. I did the funeral and there was two caskets sitting there. Brother Bill, it was the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. Guy lost two kids at once. I can't imagine that. But hold on, man. Look at me. Job didn't lose two. He didn't lose one. He lost 10 at one time. Could you imagine, David? 10 caskets sitting in front of the church. Could you imagine having to try to console and help somebody like him? You know what? To many people, they would say, that's the end of the world. I'll never live again. I lost my children. I can't live again. But Job lived again. That was part of his mire. Y'all with me? See, sometimes we don't look at the story like it could be us. Y'all thank God your kids are safe. Y'all thank God they're healthy. Y'all thank God you ought to be glad God's taking care of them. Because see, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of God. And then Job lost his fitness. He got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his head, bottom of his feet. He had running, oozing boils. Putrefied. You said, well, I've got some physical problems. Do you have that? I'm talking about living every day. He found him out. He found that. He got down in the ashes scraping those boils. And the preacher, he said, boy, poor old Job. But hold on. It sounds that way, doesn't it? But see, before we say poor old this person and poor old that person, some of you are going through some stuff. I got people on my staff going through stuff. I got other folks going through stuff. I got people in my family going through stuff. And I want to tell them, and I want to tell you, though you may be going through something tonight and going through some trouble tonight, God's got a big purpose. God's got a big plan. God's got something great for you. Y'all with me? And then Job lost his friends. Now, I want to be honest with you. If I lost these four guys, I don't think I'd be losing much. How many said, somebody said your friend cut your throat and then left you there to bleed to death? You don't have one like that? God bless you. I can introduce you to a couple of people if you like. Hello? Hear me tonight. The mire represents problems. The mire represents loss. But the mire was needed for the rush to grow. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. Oh, it's going to get good right now. Now, let's go to number two. Let's look and examine, if I may, for the next couple minutes, this rush. I'm amazed about it. Dear God, I'm about to get happy about it. This rush, this product that grew to 15 foot high, and Brother Ellis, as big as my wrist. That's what I want to talk about now. See, not only am I talking about the problem, I want to talk about the product that mire produced or trouble produced. You said, I've got kids that are in trouble. God can help you. I've got grandkids that are on the cliff. God can help you. I want you to know that we all go through things with our family, but God's got a big purpose. Now, let me give you just a couple of things. A couple of things they use rush for. It's okay? Then I'll apply some things. I don't know if y'all know this, but they used rush, I'm about to get happy right here, to make baskets. You've seen them. Bull rush baskets. Get it? Bull rush baskets. And I'll tell you something else they made rush out of. If you take that rush, Denny, and they would cut, and by the way, if y'all want to know where paper come from, you're hearing it first from your pastor. They would take that rush and cut it down, and there was a substance inside that rush. They would make 12-inch strips, and later that substance is what we call papyrus. And then later, the papyrus would turn into paper. Y'all all with me? Y'all getting it? Anybody getting this sermon yet? Well, let's just look in the Bible. First of all, Turn over to Exodus a minute. I want to just show you this. I'm going to be brief. I'll be down here in just a minute. Oh, good Lord, I'm liking this though. Turn to Exodus. Are y'all there? Say amen. Amen. Go to Exodus chapter number 2. When you're there, say amen. I'll read verse number 1 down through verse 3. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. By the way, this goodly child was Moses. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for him an ark of what? Bulrushes. And daubed it with slime. And put the man or the child therein. And said, it is in the flags by the river brink. Number one, I'll tell you what the rush produces. It produces a real man of God, a real woman of God, a real teenager for God. You say, preacher, how did that man, how did that preacher become what he did? Because there was some trouble in his life. And some mire in his life that brought out something wonderful, and he became a great man of God. Your preacher can testify. I've been here 46 years. I have very few close friends because the ministry kind of has caused me to be a little cynical about people that call yourself friends. But my close friends knows that in these 46 years, there's been some ups and some downs in John Smith's life. I've went through things where people in the church hated each other and I had to be the peacemaker. That ain't fun, especially when they throw punches. I had two sisters one time about ready to duke it out with each other and I was in between. I said, dear God. But I want to tell you something, Allison. You know what the rust does in a girl like you? You've been through a lot of trouble. It raises you up. It makes you worthy. It makes you into a vessel that gives God the honor. Amen. Look at the great men of the past. Look at the Moody's. Look at the Spurgeons. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, probably the greatest preacher of all time, since Apostle Paul, suffered depression. Worse than anybody I knew, he'd go to France 3 months a year just to get away because of this black dog of depression. D.L. Moody had depression. But yet, they touched 2 continents for Christ. I want you to know something. Hear me out. Your trouble will bring you to be a great man or a great woman or a great young person. For God. It's not. There's some of you have had a lot of health problems. Can I tell you something? God will use that to bring glory. I know some people in our church that. I don't know if Leah's here tonight. Is she here? Where you at? Leah. I love Leah. Leah's a good girl. She loves God. Just a little missionary. But man, I'll tell you. I saw you 3 girls when you were born. It's a wonder any of you lived. Now, I'll be honest with you, Angie. When I went in to see and pray over them, I told my wife, and I shouldn't have said this. This wasn't faith. I just said, I don't know if those 3 kids are going to make it. But I want you to know something. God had a bigger plan. God had a real big plan. And that young lady's went through it. She's still going through it. She don't complain. She smiles. She's angry, but she says, you know. But I want you to know something. God's made something out of her. You're not going to be anything without trouble. You're not going to be anything without problems. You're saying, I'll complain about my problems. You don't understand. Maybe your problems will produce something great in you. Oh, I got this next one. You ready, Zach? I'm ready to get happy. Number one, the rush produces a man. But number two, what did I say? What did I say back there? If you cut that thing, they cut them rush, and they get out of it, that papyrus, then they cut it in 12-inch strips, and that papyrus then becomes paper or manuscripts. Look at me. See this thing I got in my Bible by hand? This is the blessed Word of God. It did not come to us easy. It came through blood. It came through martyrdom. It came through bad experiences. Yet it stands tall as the inspired, infallible, preserved Word of God this evening. The manuscripts. We have a Bible today because there was a rush. We have, and by the way, if you want to go online and see my series on how we got our English Bible. We didn't get our English Bible easy. We got our English Bible. It cost people their lives. It cost others their money and their fortune. But we have a Bible this morning or this evening because of the papyrus, because of the manuscript, and it came from a rush. Amen. Woo! By the way, how many's glad you got a Bible?
Amen.
You, hey, by the way, you wouldn't be saved if you didn't have a Bible.
Right.
By the way, if you didn't have a Bible, you couldn't grow and be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Hey, if you didn't have the Bible, you couldn't fight the devil. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Don't have the Bible. By the way, it's going to be by the word of God. When Jesus comes back one day, he's going to defeat the Antichrist, the false prophet. Y'all with me? Can I give you one more? I'm closing. I think. Sometimes you get happy. Boy, I want to give you all of this. I do. Turn to Matthew, chapter number 11, just quickly. I want to give you a third product real quick. I'll just breeze by this. Matthew chapter number 11. When you get there, say amen. Look at verse number 7 and 8 and 9. When you're there, say amen. You there? Everybody there? Let me make sure I'm there. Okay. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? Listen, a reed shaken with the wind? Amen. Where's that reed come? It come from the flax. But went ye out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft raiment are in kings' houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. Because there's no greater than John the Baptist. And I want you to know what the rush will do. It'll bring forth a ministry. You want to know what his ministry was? Boy, what a ministry. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. How many believe that's a ministry? I want you to know something. And I'm going to say this. We've been fortunate around here. I really want to make sure you get this. And we have a large church for West Virginia. We have a large church. But you know why this church is where it is today? Because it has prevailed through trials and became the ministry that it is today. I want you to know something, though. And I pastor a large church, so hear what I have to say. Being large necessarily doesn't mean you're great. I know some fellas and some ministries that are a third of what we are or a fourth of what we are, and God's using them. There's some up in the hollers that are being used for God What I'm trying to tell you is that through trouble, through burdens, through agony, will bring forth a ministry. Somebody help me preach. And lastly, I'm done. I'm finished. Lois, please move up for me. And then the purpose. What was the purpose for all this anyway? What was the purpose? The mire. How many's ever looked at your life and wondered, why all the trouble? Why all the mire? Why all the unpleasantry? Why all the nastiness? I'll tell you why. To bring you to a place of worship and praise. You know what happened to Job after he lost his family, Jeff? After he lost his fortune and he got broke out in boils? What'd he do? Pout? What'd he do? Go running? No, Job 1:20 says he worshiped. I want you to know something. I want to ask you. How many of you people in this room have went through something bad in your life and God brought you through it? Raise your hand. Why aren't you worshiping? Right now you ought to be praising. Some of you, God's brought you through cancer. Some of you, God's brought you through children that's failed. Some of you have brought you through so many bad things. Listen, raise your hand and praise Him tonight. And then, oh my Lord is right. In chapter 42, how many agree with me Job lost a lot? But I want to tell you, I read the back of the book, and it's not the end of the story. Now, I want to give you something here that God's taught me. I'm done, and I want some of you to come and pray. But I want to give you something. Job come face to face with God. And you know what Job said? He never said it once when he was facing his four friends. But he said, I abhor myself. Because he saw his holiness and his unrighteousness. And then what he did, this is amazing. Has people done you wrong? Come on, have you? Sure. I've had people call me everything and do just about everything to me. And I'll be honest with you. If y'all think that doesn't hurt, it really does. But I want you to know something. You want to know when you get to victory? You know what Job did? This is amazing. The Bible said Job got down on his knees at the end of the chapter. And you know what he done, Sharon? The Bible says it plain. He prayed for his friends. When he prayed for his friends, here's what the Bible says. God turned everything around. I've got some enemies. I got some people doing me wrong. They'll get right on Facebook and do it. Y'all know me. I'm not on Facebook. And I will never retaliate to something like that. But I tell you what I do. I pray for them.
Amen.
Because see, when you pray for your enemy, it's easy to pray for Jack. He's my friend. It's easy to pray for you. Your daddy is my friend. But I'm talking about somebody that hates you and slurs you. Like they did Job. But Job prayed for his friend. You know what God done? You know what God done? God gave him double. You want to be blessed? You endure trials with your head held up high. Because see, God's got a reason. Because here's his reason. He's going to make a man, woman, a boy, a girl out of you that's going to be great for his kingdom. Here's the reason. He's got the word of God written for you because of the manuscript. Here's the reason. He's got a ministry for you. But here's the reason. You need to praise him. I wonder how many in this room, God's brought you through something. And he's still bringing you through things. I wonder how many of you would get up out of your seat and come around this altar and just say, God, I want to thank you. Even though I didn't know at the time that this was good for me, I want to thank you for what you've done to make me what I am. Then I want you to praise him. Then if you're here lost, you're here lost. You know God spared you for years. God's watched over you for years. Why has he done that? Because he got a purpose and grace for you. He wants to save you. He hadn't left you here just to be prosperous. He left you here so you get saved before it's too late. You ought to come up around the altar yourself. But I'd like for every one of you to raise your hand and say, I've been through something. And I'm going to come and pray and give him glory. And here's what I want you to do. If somebody has hurt you and been your enemy, for this is hard, and been your enemy, it's hard to do. Because some of these people, I like to smack the snot out of them. Because they're so foolish. But that is carnal. Here's what I'd like for you to do. Pray for that person that did you the worst. Because what you're doing by praying for that person that's done you the worst, you're unlocking the door to God's great treasure of blessing. For him to bless you and turn everything around. I wonder how many of you in this room that's been through something. Maybe you're going through something right now with your children or your friends or your family. That you come around this altar and say, God, I want to grow up and give you glory. And I thank you for bringing us through what you've already brought us through. Stand, will you come? Please hurry. I think everyone that's been through anything ought to come tonight. If you're online tonight, you're facing trouble tonight online, bow down right now online. Bow down online and talk to him and love on him and praise him. Come on, others, come. This could be a breakthrough tonight. Please come. Our Father, Lord, I thank you for this hour preaching. Thank you for this message. It was birthed by you. I didn't get it out of a book or from some certain person. It's just birthed from your throne. And Lord, I just thank you. Lord, you used it in my life. Use it in others' lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing it.